The ship of the captain looked into the dark night and saw in the distance lights. Immediately he told his signalman to send this message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. Promptly a message came back, which said, alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain was angered by this and commanded that the signalman send this message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. To which he got a response. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Immediately, the captain sent another message in an outrage and said, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. And then he got this reply. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am the lighthouse. And thus becomes the reason why there's a lot more among us who believe certain things, but who have no power behind them because they forget the principle of the lighthouse. God is a loving God, but he is immovable in his character. He will not compromise himself or his purposes in order to love you, and he doesn't have to. Yay, God. That's where Jesus comes in. That's what redemption is all about. That God could enter our little world as it is, fractured, broken, dark, often sinful, and love us and still stay uncontaminated by our own failures. In this series, 12 Steps Up, we're talking about how messy, messed up people mature, and they do. I am a little more mature than I was when I started this journey. And if you aren't growing at all, then you have a disconnect. And I think it's a disconnect of thousands and thousands and thousands of people across our country have. And that is, I believe certain things, but I do not feel the need or know how to bring my life in alignment with the things I say I believe. I have beliefs for which I have no corresponding behaviors. Not a few husbands and wives, not a few wives have awakened to realize she married a man who has beliefs but no character, no behaviors that bolster those beliefs. And yet we serve a God who says, believe in me and then follow me, right? Jesus never said, accept me. He never said that. He never said, make a decision for me. I love Billy Graham, but Billy, you're wrong. Make a decision, come down in front and make a decision for Christ. I did that when I was a kid. I came down front and decided that Jesus could keep on living down at the Big Baptist Church. And if I needed him, I'd know where he'd be. And I found that it don't quite work that way. Jesus does not come to help. He comes to take over. So that we wake up. I am powerless over my own humanity, my sin, and my broken nature. I look up because only God can give me the true hope for which I was made to embrace. And now I line up my life behind that. I love what the great missionary Paul said. He's writing to a young, extremely gifted pastor. And the book on him was really talented, really compelling, but very, very emotional and easily depressed. Now, that's a volatile combination. And so Paul is writing to this great missionary. He's writing to this young pastor. He's mentoring him. And he's telling him to stand up against those who would bring false teaching into the church. Stand up against those from within and from out. Those from within, we're talking about that you to be right with God, it's Jesus plus circumcision, keeping the law, and all these other rules. On the outside, it was Jesus was not real. He was just an ethereal appearance, an aberration of divinity. And Paul says, just preach the word, brother. Just give them the gospel. Give them good news that God loved to send his son. John 3:16, for God so loved David Foster that he sent his only begotten son, that David Foster would believe in him. He would not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm going to heaven. I hope I'm not going alone. Well, neither am I getting up a load to go this morning, but nonetheless. And so after that admonition, this is this crescendo of confidence that Paul gives Timothy. He says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. He says, believe. That's an important thing, to believe. But this is what he said, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed. The word literally in our English language would be the word deposited unto him against that day. And we all know what that day is. That day when this journey is over, this life ends, we die and we enter in to the world for which we were truly made, a world of redemption, complete restoration, and complete reconciliation. Eternity. So Paul is saying, you know what? I believe something and then I lined my life up behind it. I deposited something. It says it this way in the book of Psalms, the book of songs. Don't fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither, and like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord or do good. You can do one or the other, but just do one. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Trust in the Lord, and anybody here know the genius of the and? Yeah, you can have cake and eat it too. Have you ever, is that a stupid statement? You can't have your cake and eat it too. Well, why have it then? Who, what do you do with? I have cake. What are you doing with? I don't know, but I can't eat it because that's what the old saying says. Well, I have cake. Oh yes, you can have cake and eat it too. I have done it. I repented, but I've done it. You can even eat hamburgers and fries. Oh yeah. Oh, you bunch of healthy people. I wouldn't eat that. Yeah, you're going to be in the hospital dying from nothing. When I die, it's going to be, oh, call in the specialists. We've never seen anything like this. There's a French fry in his big artery. Trust in the Lord and do good. How do you know you're trusting in the Lord? You're doing good, right? It's believe and behave. It is align my life up. Now, why is this so important? Because I was raised this way. Now, God, I'm thankful I was raised in church. They taught me to believe in Jesus and believe in the Bible. And those two things that have always held me firm. But a lot of the other foolishness that went on, I could have done without. How about you? It's the come down front every Sunday morning. I got a very nice, thoughtful response this week from someone who had visited the gathering and noticed that we didn't give a come down the front invitation. And wanted to know why. And this is really strange. Paul and I have been here 20 years. That has been the number one question. I thought when we came here to start a church for pagans, like people like y'all, we'd have these thoughtful debates about the deity of Jesus and the veracity of the script. Nah. Why don't y'all give a come down front invitation? Because it's stupid. How clearer can I be? How many times do I have to say this? Okay. The number one fear in America is speaking in front of people. The number two fear in America, no kidding, go look this stuff up, dying. So you would rather die than come down front in front of all these people. You're dying, go to hell before you get down front, because you can't go to heaven if you haven't been down front. Sign the card, hurry up and sign the daggum card. What do you want? Ask you, just believe, okay, Jesus is the Son of God, I've been in your heart, okay, hurry up, we're gathering at the restaurant, and somebody will get my seat, sign the card, someone will be in touch with you with envelopes. And if you have no idea what I'm saying, all I can say, you have been blessed among all men and women. But was just, you know, for me, when I was coming down the front, solved everything. I mean, you could come down the front to get saved. You could come down the front if you really, really, really were in deep, deep doo-doo. But don't be coming down the front for any casual stuff. Save coming down the front for the people who are really bad sinners. Amen? All right. Now, for those of you who have had your life changed down front, I owe you an apology. Because that has certainly happened. I don't doubt it. But here's my fear. Let me speak to you, get you all worked up, and then emotionally compel you to come down front to say a prayer for which there is no evidence or life change. You didn't want your life changed. You just wanted the pain to go away. Because life is hard. Okay, can I just say it? Life is hard. It just really is hard. For those of us, for those of you just beginning, it's hard. You think it's hard now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you get married. That's a whole nother level of hard. Come on. Well, hey, I love being married. It's the greatest thing I've ever done, but it is hard. Listen, Paula, for 38 years, really has had, I mean, how would you like to have to live with me? How many of you know one in public manner with, I tell you what, some Starbucks in me, I am a party. How many of you know I go home and crash and I'm moody and all this other crap that my kids and my wife has had to put up with? I'm not happy about that. I don't embrace that downside of my personality. But you know what? Living with messy people is hard. Paula has some imperfections. Oh, yeah. I mean, having kids is hard, right? Life would be a lot easier if you had no children. Come on, tell the truth. Look at all the cool stuff you could have. You could have a Harley. See, everything, here's my statement. A thing is hard in direct proportion to its worth, providing its good. A thing is hard in direct proportion to its worth, providing its good. I love being a father. I cannot imagine not having three gorgeous girls. Smart, strong, good, compassionate, gifted girls who challenge me every day to keep up. I can't imagine not having a 38-year continuous relationship with a woman who I've strived every day to be worthy of. But it's hard, okay? Are you with me? It's just hard. Anything is hard. Just because, you know, one of my best friends, Dan Miller, wrote a book called 48 Days to the Work You Love. And Dan and I were talking this last week. He says, people think because you love something, it's going to be easy. No, it is hard. It's just hard worth it. A lot of us do things that are hard, but aren't worth it. That's called wasting your life. But this is how we deal with hard religiously. One, we want God to bail us out. Some of you here that are here this morning to be bailed out. Some of you watching the video to be bailed out. Some of you downloaded the podcast and you're listening to this to be bailed out. And I have to be honest with you, God does do bailouts. Aren't we all glad? He does do bailouts. He does bailouts in two ways. He either gives us mercy or gives us grace. And in some cases, he gives us both. Mercy is very different than grace. The word mercy, literally, as it's translated into the Greek, is the root of the word from which we get our word thermometer. Did you know that? In other words, God has a high boiling point. Mercy is when God withholds from me what I deserve. Grace, on the other hand, is when God gives to me what I cannot earn. On either side of that equation, God, I have to confess, does bailouts. And that's why I think there are times when coming down the front, when we truly understand what we're doing, and it's not just purely emotional, is a good thing to do. Not poo-pooing on the whole idea. But here's my point, is if you get in a habit of relating to God this way, you will remain a spiritual child the rest of your life. Amen? God does do bailouts. We just don't want to make this the only way in which we connect to God. We deal with hard secondly when we come this way. We want God, fix me quick. Fix me quick. My wife says if I don't change, she's leaving me. Oh, Lord, fix me quick. We come to church. We go down front. We say the prayer. We sign the card. And we come back home. And we bring the same old me back with us. We say, I thought I left you at the church. She says, no, 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 no. We are glued together, brother. Right? And we say, pray the prayer. And God, fix me. Listen, God is a bailout God, I will agree. But God will not fix you quick. Because God loves you. I mean, really loves you. You with me? There are people who say, I love you, bro. Right? I love you, bro. I've had people say, I'll love you to the end. I just didn't realize the end was so near. You see, you're not a refrigerator. I mean, when I was raised in a small town where Sears wasn't God, but was the fourth member of the Trinity. We got everything from Sears. Amen. Remember that? Some of you don't remember those days. We got our clothes from Sears and we looked like it. And now if you buy your clothes at Sears, God bless you because you'll need it. We buy our appliances at Sears. We buy our bicycle at Sears. And so when everything broke, it was easy to go to Sears. And we would go to Sears in my small town, and God is my witness, everything, it didn't matter how big or how small or what it was made of, had to be ordered. And it took 2 weeks. I said, God, when I grow up, I'm going to move to wherever it is geographically from this place 2 weeks. Because when I need something, I want it today. How about you? Because I'm a quick fix guy. I want God to fix it quick. Fix it, fix it, fix it. I don't want to feel this bad. I don't want to feel this pain. I want the flood to go away. I want to be rebuilt. I want to have it all back. I want FEMA to give me all my money. I want the injury. Blah, 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 blah. I want it over right now. And it ain't going to be over right now. It just ain't. You can fuss and cuss and, you know, say, I don't believe in the God. I don't believe in the God. Then you're the loser, dude. Because God is the lighthouse. Are you with me? This is my Father's world, and who is listening here? Right? Oh, yeah, I know this stuff. I didn't spend 4 years in kids' choir for nada. But God isn't going to fix quick. God isn't going to fix you quick. Here's the really strange idea that I didn't get as a kid. God wants a relationship with me. He wanted to know me. He wanted me to know him. He created me, loves me, redeems me, restores me, sustains me. And he wants a loving give and take in a relationship. So I'm not a refrigerator with a broken part. Oh, God, it's hard. Fix me. No, not going to happen. Bail me out? Okay, we can talk about that. But here's the other one that it makes, you know, people just religious and mean. We want God to be on standby, right? God is my co-pilot. Oh, get that bumper sticker off of your bumper before God's GPS sees it and he kills you dead. Anyone who has God as my co-pilot on any clothing, burn it now or God will give you a sunburn. What, Lord? Oh, he didn't say that. I was ad-libbing. God is my co. Really? God ain't co nothing. But oh God, be on standby. That's how I was raised. God lives at the church. Good to know. Come to church, go down front, and make a decision for Jesus. Ever heard this one? God bless Billy Graham. And I did. I made a decision. Jesus, I know exactly where you are. If I need you, I'll be back at church until I need you. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Right? Because to me, Jesus was this really, you know, prudish, you know, mean, mad God. And he was out to, you know, take away all fun. Right? There is no fun in Jesus. Jesus does not have fun. This is serious. You don't believe me? Look at the statues of Jesus. This is not a guy having fun. Come on. Should you say that? Well, somebody needs to say it. They're daggum statues. Do they even look like Jesus? I doubt it. I think Jesus looked more like me. I never will forgive church I went to in Alabama and saw my first black Jesus. I thought, oh my Lord, these people got screwed up. Jesus is a Caucasian. He has blue eyes and blonde hair. You know how I know that? Every picture I've ever seen. That's what he looks like. You're being stupid. Ye got it. Yep. No more stupid than when we try to create a God in our own image. And say, God, you just be on standby. I'll live my life. If I need you, I'll let you know. Listen to what the scriptures say. 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. And at the right time, he'll lift you up. Whatever you bring low, God will raise up. Whatever you raise up in pride, God will bring down. Just that simple. You know why? He is the lighthouse. You're the dinghy. Amen? It's his ocean. Huh? You know what? It's his boat. You know what? You every day you live, you're living by the grace and generosity and mercy of God. So why live in such a way that says, I believe certain things, but my behavior will never line itself up behind those things I say I believe. Line up. What does the third step in AA say? Made a decision to turn our will and our lives. That's the key, isn't it? Our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand it. And growth simply means I'm coming to a fuller, better, more complete understanding of who God is. Right? So, how do we bring our life into alignment? And then what are the things that fight and take our lives out of alignment? So let's do the first one. The daily disciplines of aligning my behavior with my beliefs are just simply, let's just use the word yes. Yes. Okay? Every day I enter the day with a yes. Are you with me? Here's the point. What you pay attention to, you create desire for. Give you an example. Let's say that you are going to start a diet tomorrow. Now, I can't imagine why anyone would want to start a diet on the seventh day of a month. It's either the first day or the 15th day. That's when you start. Or your birthday or Christmas. It's this big, epic day. You remember that? Have you ever done that? Well, you know what? On my birthday, I'm going to start eating better. Your birthday comes and goes, and guess what? You're just eating more. Right? And so you have this idea that, you know, I'm going to, there's going to be a day out there that I'm going to, you know, get skinny by saying no to the foods I don't need to eat. So you will go every single day starting tomorrow. You've got your no on. Matter of fact, you ought to get yourself a t-shirt. Big no. Big no. Somebody looks at you and you go, hey, babe, you want to go out with me? Hey, you want to go to the ball game, Bubba? I will eat no fries forever. And guess what will happen? You'll eat fries by Wednesday, right? If you ever think the no you say you're not going to do, you create the desire for. The temptation is there. You can't point being. You can't live your life on a no. You have to have a yes. The yes has to be so big and so compelling that it crowds out the no. Are you with me? Yes. Here's the why of the yeah, of the daily yes. Yield. You yield to what? Fate, circumstance, floods, inevitabilities, old age, divorce, bankruptcy. I yield. You're going to yield to something. Why not yield to God's love? Every single day, I yield to God's love. I will allow God to love me in a way that helps and heals and blesses me. Knowing that sometimes to love me, here it is, God's going to have to hurt me. Oh, yeah. Now, you've heard TV preachers, have you not? God would never let you get sick. That's of Satan. That's of Satan. God is only want to bless you. Well, yeah, but he might beat the snot out of you on the way to the blessing. Nobody tells you that, do they? Right? Listen, God cannot love you well and bless you in behavior that he has prohibited. Gosh, that's good. We need to write that down. Somebody write that down. That's good. And so sometimes God's love hurts, but it always hurts with a view of healing. Aren't you glad Jesus prayed this prayer? Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. It's okay to struggle in the heart, in a world where it's hard. You will struggle. It's okay to have the tension. Matter of fact, the tension's a good thing. Jesus did. 100% God, 100% man. Jesus says, I look at the cross, I look at the future, I'm telling you, these people aren't worth it. The little song, Jesus loves me, this I know, is not worth dying on the cross for. But if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. I'm glad Jesus, we saw the humanity of him struggling with his daily, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I yield to your will. I yield to your love. I yield to your grace, even though it doesn't make any sense to me. God loves me. He loves me too much to let me pass. His love is not an enabling love. An enabling love is this. An enabling love is when you hurt or diminish the person you love in the process of loving them. We know this as parents, do we not? How much do we let our children face the consequences? We all know stories of kids who basically have been bailed out by their parents. They have been raised experience rich and relationship poor. Their parents have never known how to say yes to something big, and so therefore they never have the courage to say no. Are you with me? And so instead of raising children that are smart, strong, good, and compassionate, great citizens, great contributors, makers of something, they raise kids that are drags and drains on the culture and society, and we wonder why. It's not that complex. Sometimes to love your children, you have to discipline them. Clapping's good, but if we're going to clap, let's do big clap. Let's do the Assembly of God clap. Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, today I will yield to your love, Father. Amen. Here's the E. Every day I will exercise. By God's grace, I will exercise. Here's the truth. You are today what your choices have made you. If you are overweight, it's not your thyroid. Come on, let's just talk. Well, there are exceptions. You got it. We made the exceptions the rule so that we're afraid, scared to death and say, you know what? If you eat too many ho-hos, you will be overweight. Now, if this is a state in which you're okay, then we're okay with it too. Doesn't mean skinny people are any more valuable than people who have more tonnage. It just simply means there is a logical connection. Duh. Right? Come on. Yeah. Y'all are like,
I ain't saying nothing about that, man. You talk about that stuff, you can be in trouble.
Okay, well, let's talk about it. Exercise. What am I supposed to exercise every day? Here it is. God has given you the greatest power that he could have given you, and that is the power every day to choose. You make the choices. God makes the consequences. By God's grace, I will every day exercise the power I have to choose and make the right choices. Choices based on my beliefs about who I am in Christ and why I'm here and what honors the God I love. These choices are not that difficult to make once you have a big yes. I yield to you, Father. I yield to your love, knowing that this path is painful and it can be hard, but it will always lead to my healing and to a good place. I exercise every single day my ability to make decisions. I can say no to the wrong things. I can say yes to the good things. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man or a woman reaps what he sows. We fall on our knees and beg God to help us and then go out and live in such a way that guarantees he can't. So that's hard. No, that's true. Now, the bizarre thing about this is God doesn't give up on us. He doesn't walk away from us, even when we are the most disobedient. He hangs in there. He knows there will be a day with his love and patience and time when we will wake up and look up and then line up and realize that the day I start making better choices is the day my life begins to change for the better. And all I got to do is string some good choices together over time, and I can arrive at a place that is absolutely beyond my imagination. Can have, be, and do everything for which I was created over time, just simply exercising my power to choose. You can choose to be faithful to your wife, men. Amen? You can choose that. You can choose to say no to that guy who expects you to earn his love in the back seat of his Honda. You can say no to that. You can make the right choices. You can eat the right foods. You may not be able to run a marathon, but you can walk to the mailbox. You can roll off and roll over and move or do something. Amen? All of us can move. And the great thing about you being here today is that you're moving. You're out and understand how important it is to gather in God's name. Lord, I yield to your love. Lord, I exercise my power that you've given me as a free human being to make good, smart, God-honoring choices. I choose to make something of my life, knowing that you will be there the whole time, helping me, loving me, and supporting me, and making a way. God will always make a way for the man or woman who seeks his goodness. Always. You say, well, I just don't see how. Good. You don't need to. All you need to do is get up, suit up, show up, and do the next right thing, and trust God for the results. That's really good, Dave. We need an Assembly of God clap on that one, but that's okay, because if you have to ask for it, then it's no good. See? I like that. Assembly of God clap. Can we say that? Okay, good. Nobody going to offend you? Okay, okay, we're good. Maybe if you get offended by that, you wait for this. Because, you know, I got overwhelmed, you know, after the first service, because I didn't even, some of you right now, you're the outline aholics in here, are like, oh my God, we got 14 more points. Nah, we just got one more. I put those other points in there just to aggravate you. What's the S? Yield to God's love. Exercising the power to choose. S is simply every day I submit to what God demands. Have you noticed that Psalm 37 verse? Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. Commit, deposit. This isn't a request. This is a demand. It's not the 10 suggestions. It's the Ten Commandments. And you know what? He has the right to make demands. You know why? He's the lighthouse. Hello? It's his ocean, his wind, his rain, his dinghy. Amen. This is my Father's world. Right? He got the whole world in his hand. He got the whole world in his hands. He got the whole world. This is my New Orleans. He got you and me, brother, in his hands. He got you and me, sister, in his hands. He got you and me, brother, in his hands. He got the... I was on, but you people, you need some brackets. Line up. This is so... Listen, I just say it is hard, but it is so worth it. Oh, man. College was hard. When I walked across and got my diploma, I just felt like I had conquered the world. Seminary is hard. God, hard, hard, beyond hard. Spent almost a month in the hospital. Just a lot of hard life was thrown in chaos. And I walked across that stage. It was great. My top five favorite photo that we have in the history of the world is the night I received my doctorate and was hooded and all this other stuff. And I've got Paige in one arm as the arm baby. And Aaron's looking. And Lindsay's looking up at me. And I'm like, oh, I'm king of the world. 25th anniversary, Paul and I went to Europe. One of the most beautiful experiences we ever had. 25 years of hard, but worth it. Amen? I mean, when graduation time comes, you forget about the tests, right? When you drive that PFC car, paid for a car, I don't care if it's 4 or 5 years old. It looks new, don't it? It smells new, drives new. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Once you've sacrificed and you grow a little and the fruit starts coming, you look back and say, that wasn't that hard. And you'd be a liar, but that'd be okay because the reward is worth the sacrifice. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you will accomplish in all of our lives, each man, each woman in this place, bail them out. Rescue them from where they are. Maybe there's someone here who just feels like they've gone the last mile of the road. It is not true. They got a lot more strength, a lot more hope, a lot more grace. There's some good stuff just ahead, some God stuff just ahead. Oh God, don't let them give up. Don't let them give up on their marriage. Don't let them give up on their job. Don't let them give up on themselves. Most of all, Father, don't let them give up on you. Father, love us good. Love us well. Love us in a way that takes us to the highest place. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.